Alrighty, so let's get started. I mean, most people know who we are. I'm Robin Logan from International Coach Academy and Mercy Maglino, Training Director from International Coach Academy. And we're here today to facilitate this teleseminar on the startup coaching model. And it's the ICA startup coaching model, really, because there are many, many startup coaching models. And in fact, one of the reasons we developed this is precisely because of that. There are so many models and so much advice to new coaches. Don't you think sometimes, Mercy, it's overwhelming how much information is out there on how to set up a coaching practice?
Yeah, it is. I mean, in some, you know, all this choice and all this discernment and all this having to filter through, you know, what's out there. It's just incredible. And every time I coach a new business person or in B Labs and here at ICA, they're looking for some way to scale this down. How do I sort through all this information? So we, simplifying it can't, to me, it's the simplest thing to do is simplify and then start. So I'm delighted with this model.
Yeah, good. And just to clarify for some people who are not perhaps students, B Labs, Mercy was just referring to that she facilitates, that's the business labs, the coaching business labs that we run internally at ICA for our coaching students. And so that's why you're exactly the perfect person for this call, because you actually have firsthand experience of speaking to lots of new coaches, correct? Yeah. All right. So let's get straight into it then. So the three elements, and you know, you can see the visual diagram of the model is that they're like cogs in a wheel, because really they turn each other, and there's not actually one that comes before the other. They feed into each other as well. So let's begin with coach and be coached. This is the first element of the startup coaching model, and I would say it's even the first element of the learn to be a coach, get coaching skills model. Because in order to coach, there's nothing more valuable than to be coached, to actually experience what it's like as a client and to go through that process yourself is incredibly valuable information for you yourself as a coach. And I still find this today with my coach. When I'm coaching, I often think to myself, that was amazing what I just went through. That was really interesting. How could I use that with my clients? So it's the best learning that there is, coach and be coached. From the business perspective, I think one of the first things for a new coach is confidence. It's very hard to build your business if you don't have confidence, and that's where getting coached comes in. So I'll throw over to you for that one, Mercy. What do you think?
I'm struck by, you know, Robin is a successful businesswoman, and Robin, you always have a coach, right? More or less?
Sometimes two.
It is not unusual for entrepreneurs, business people, you know, I mean, we are in an industry or you know, frankly, a profession that really believes in the structure of coaching as a way of leveraging all your resources and your potential. So it is baffling to me that often I will be coaching not just new coaches, Robin, but like people who are have been coaching for a while but just haven't gotten this business thing going. And how many of them don't have a business coach? I just find it that it's an obvious but very simple step one can take to create a business.
Yeah. And, you know, it's really interesting what you're saying about the number of coaches that don't have coaches. I remember 10 years ago now going to a presentation in Brisbane in Australia, and it was run by Christine McDougall, who was Australia's first and only at that time MCC coach. And it was an ICF conference, and the room was full of about 50 coaches. And she said to the room, "Put up your hand if you have a coach." And like, I think about 8 people put up their hand. And she said, "That's just amazing that you are coaches and yet you don't have a coach." And then she gave a piece of advice that I have followed all my life since then. And she said, it's always important to get a coach that's just a little bit further ahead than you are. And so she said she always pays her own coach just a little bit more than she charges herself. Now, I know that it's a bit of a generalization because you can't always judge quality by price. But I've got to say, you know, I do that myself. I've paid up to $1,000 a month for my coach. And I do that because I'm looking up there. That's where I'm going. I'm going up to that level. Yeah, and I want to see what that's like.
You know, it's the same marketing principles that we say that we teach to coaches. Who is going to, you know, who is out there that you're looking to coach, and what about you is going to appeal to them? So if I'm right now, I have an MCC coach because I want to be an MCC, so I have a mentor coach for that. I have a coach that I'm working with in my running club because I want to run a 5K. I have a coach I'm working with on my website because I know some of what I need to do, but I also need direction and I need someone to sort out priorities. So maybe they're a blend of coach, consultant. But I mean, you know, I fully believe that especially when you're a solopreneur as we are, you know, we're really one person and we have to have a support team. We need a board of directors. We need, you know, all this support that you would have if you had, a whole staff around you. You have to seek out what you need. And that, to me, that's the beauty part. I can really hone in and find somebody who just maybe represents my niche or is marketing in a way that I'm really interested in, like fully online or with a particular niche. I mean, you can choose the right business coach too.
Yeah. I do remember Karen Capello, who used to be on faculty. I always remember her. She always had at least five coaches. Do you remember that?
Yes.
She used to have she had a spiritual coach, she had a marketing coach, she had a life coach, a fitness coach. So, yeah, that's a really important point. You don't have to just have one coach.
No.
You can have more than one coach.
The more extraordinary your vision and mission is, the more you want someone who's going to help you, you know, really full on leverage your potential.
Yeah. Okay, so I agree. So we've established get a coach. The next thing is let's do some actual practical steps on how to do that. And let's do that with each of the elements of the model here. So how to get a coach? Well, I think starting with ICA students, you go into the forum, you go to the peer coaching forum. We have a massive peer coaching forum with a community of thousands of coaches around the world, and you post that you want to coach. However, you have to think about, you know, I often come across students who, and we get it in the support queue, you know, I can't find a coach. And then I'll go in and have a look at what they've posted in the forum. And it's sometimes like someone I was talking to the other day had done this. He just posted a one-liner, which was, "Hi, I'm in Australia, I'd like a coach." Now, for starters, narrowing the market all the way down to Australia is not a good idea because it's a global profession and our community is global. And there is absolutely no reason to choose a coach in your neighborhood unless you have a reason. Sometimes there's a reason to pick a particular niche, but you don't have to do that. And secondly, you know what? It's almost a little bit like the online dating game.
Yeah.
You have to give some information. You've got to say, listen, here, you know, my name's Robin. I'm here. You know, I work in this area. I'm looking for a coach because I really want to, I don't know, run the 5K thing, or I really want to start up a new business, or I'm really trying to, I've just had a divorce or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
These are the issues I want coaching on. You know, these are the times I'm available. You've got to make it as easy as possible for someone to coach you. And you've also got to make it that someone will connect, that there's some interesting stuff there. Like, oh yeah.
Right. I mean, give me something. It's the same, you know, it's like anything else. If I throw a big line out there, I'm not going to catch, you know, it's almost segues, Robin, into the whole, you know, you got to have a niche. I mean, help me here. Help me be your coach by telling me what you need, you know, and it's the same way. Help me coach you by telling me what you need. You know, and people connect to people on, you know, we know this. We connect to people who have some similarities, that have faced similar challenges. you know, maybe we do relate to people in our culture or our time zone a little bit easier. But, you know, it's really finding that connection. And so start with, what do you really want? You know, who is your ideal coach? Yeah. What do you want their background to be like? What do you need help on? You know, if I'm a coach and I'm looking to get my practice off the ground, then I'm going to look for a business coach who helps coaches and other similar practitioners. You know, and that's at least narrowing it down to a niche.
And you know what? It's interesting. The putting yourself out there to get a coach, it sort of folds over into the other two. Create a profile. You have to do that, which we'll talk more about later. So that's what you're talking about. But also get over yourself. Get over yourself. You can't afford to go down that path of no one replied, nobody loves me. I'm, you know, very similar to the online dating game, actually. Really. Yeah. It's like you've got to get over yourself. You've got to go, okay, no one replied. Look at the message. Look at what the message is. Look at how I've positioned myself. It's a marketing exercise. And it's actually step one in the startup coaching model, because that very exercise is the same thing you're going to have to do when you launch your business.
Yes. Yes. You know, instead of feeling rejected, go back and review. You know, I used to run speed dating events, and that was one of the taglines, don't feel rejected, get in, you know, to an action posture, which review what you're writing, review, you know, take a look at who's sort of selecting you and why they're not right for you. Some way you need to change how you're communicating or something so that your message gets across. So if you get stuck in the rejection, it's understandable. You know, sit there for about 3 minutes, then wipe yourself off and move straight ahead. And, you know, this is something, Robin, that I know get over yourself sounds a bit harsh, but it really is. Don't be so significant about it. We teach it here at ICA. One of our power tools is moving from, you know, significance to lightness. And it's not about important or not. It's your perspective. Okay, that didn't work. I wonder what else will work. You know, this person wasn't quite right. You know, it's constantly you're moving towards solution rather than getting stuck in what, you know, sort of hasn't happened. So, you know, really.
Totally.
Yeah.
I agree. And, you know, so that's for our students. Now, a lot of people on the call are not ICA students. The same applies, though. You want to start up, you want to get a business as a coach, you've got to get a coach. There's lots of places to go and get a coach. You can go search on the ICF website, which is coachfederation.org. You can, I mean, just go to Google and find a coach. There's quite a few other directories out there.
And ask people.
The key thing for me, come on.
And ask people. I mean, ask people who you admire, who are making a go at it, who are doing the kind of, or demonstrating the kind of success that you want, and ask them, who's your coach? Do you have a coach? Maybe they're in a group. Maybe they're, there's so many ways, but I'm really a fan of use your social media networks, use your, old school networks, and ask people. Because often, if you admire that person, the person they're that's helping them may be just the right person for you too.
Totally. Absolutely. And what do you look for when you get a coach, Mercy? How do you choose? How do you pick your coach?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because I want them to have some measure of success in the field that I'm looking at, right? So I'm going to look for someone who's, you know, whether it's a running coach or a, a web site coach or whatever. I look at what they've done. I read about their bios. I look for, you know, what's the connection between us? And then, as you know, it's somewhat chemistry after that. You know, my first coach said to me, interview at least 3 coaches. You know, treat this like a profession. You know, you're not dating. You're trying to find a business partner, even if it's informal. You know, so be you know, judicious about it. Be discerning. You have every right to do that. And then, you know, if there's testimonials on their site, if there's video, if there's, you know, some way for you to make that connection. And almost every coach I know will give you some sort of sample taste of their coaching for no fee. I mean, that's pretty much the rule, even if it's just a 20-minute conversation. And you know, see if you connect. Have a conversation.
Yeah.
Be real with them, too. You know, be real.
Yeah, I agree. All right, well, let's move off that one because I feel like we could do a whole
seminar
on that one.
I mean, not at this call.
Yeah, maybe
but
we should.
That's the next step for our startup coaching model, yes.
Yeah, that's right. All right, because, you know, the next one as well is easily you and I are both are passionate about and
yes.
could go on and on and on. The create a profile. So, you know, those words are chosen carefully, create
yes.
a profile, because that's in essence what it is. It's not necessarily a website. It's not necessarily anything. It's
mm-hmm.
create a profile. And it depends what market you're in and it depends where you want to coach. Now, of course, a website is a great way to get a profile, but you can do that on Facebook. You can do that just physically, just going and doing public speaking. The point is you need to be known for something, and this is where it dovetails into getting a niche or an expertise. It's about figuring out what have you got to offer to the world and start speaking about it, start writing about it, start publishing, do whatever you can to get yourself out there. And like I say, there's very various ways to do that. So you must find that in B Labs all the time, students struggling with how to actually do this.
You know, it's I've come kind of full circle on niche because in the beginning, I when I first started coaching, I just couldn't imagine limiting things. I had fallen into that perspective that said, I'll get more if I don't limit versus if I do. And so, you know, I mean.
So a profile is something that enables a prospect or a potential client to know about you. And it's a very crowded marketplace these days. There are many coaches. They're in all sorts of niches. And so you really need to have something that is visible that people can learn about you and can know who you are and the sort of clients you work with so that they can connect. Exactly what we were talking about before when I asked Mercy, how does she get a coach? She has a look on their website. She checks out if they've got any video. I mean, YouTube videos are fantastic. Any audio, any articles, pretty much anything. These days, you really need to have something that can communicate who you are and what you do. Now, having a niche is the first step in figuring that out. But I'll just go back because I was interested, Mercy, about the full circle. Because I know at ICA, when we first started, we had this module. I don't know if you remember it. It was called To Niche or Not To Niche. That is the question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
And the whole thing was about whether or not you should have one.
Yeah.
Now we're just like, you've got to have one and make it as tight and narrow as you possibly can. But anyway, over to you on the niche thing.
Yeah, I think, and you brought up a good point. Niching, when you started the call, you talked about how cluttered the web is, how much goes on now. If you put life coach in a search engine, you're going to get a billion, you know, things back. And, you know, 13 years ago, it wasn't like that. So I think I felt like niching wasn't as essential. However, you know, I certainly knew about message development. I ran and marketed political candidates. So I knew that, you know, honing your message and niching it and creating your stamp or your profile was essential to be successful, to reach as many people as possible on whatever budget constraints you have of time, money, and energy. So I kind of came at it with some lightness. I didn't want to get too significant about niche or not to niche initially. So I began, and that's the thing I really want to tell people. Just start somewhere. You know, well, who do you want to coach? Who's most like you? What made you say one day I'm going to, you know, coach, I'm going to sign up for training, I'm going to get certified, you know, I'm going to invest in this training. What and who were you looking to help? And I always believe in you go to the low-hanging fruit. So if you've been involved in some profession that you have a sizable network, start there. If you've been a person, a parent, mom or dad, who's been at home raising children and working inside the home, start there. I mean, there's always some logical way you would resonate with people who are in the same circumstances. And now, I just went through this, you know, Robin, when you said, get really, really specific. And I worked with a marketing coach today, and we drilled down to who would be my natural niche for this kind of coaching that I'm experimenting with using, which, of course, I really believe that you have to experiment. You know, I mean, maybe don't write the check for $5,000 or whatever the equivalent is in your currency, but, you know, play with it. You know, don't be so sure that it has to look a certain way. Apple computers, I love Apple for one reason. They know who their audience is. Their market are first adapters. They're people who line up for the first iPhone, for the first this or the first that, and they honestly don't really care if it's perfect or not. They know who they're selling to.
Absolutely.
And Apple,
Yeah,
and I mean, and they got ahead of the competition with a less than perfect product. I mean, how amazing is that?
And no one cares. And there's bugs and they pull it back and they're like, now we're the new release.
No, and they have a GNP that's bigger than most countries. So, you know, it's like, take a page out of that. You know, take a page out of that. Begin. You will hone your expertise. The more you try to build a profile, the more you're going to have a profile. And
let's go to the how-to for that one then, because I think people struggle with how to actually do it, particularly without spending a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So
What would you say
is some really quick and easy ways to do it without spending a lot of money?
And I'll address this not spending a lot of money, because I think that's also part of the get over yourself.
Good pickup, Mercy.
Yeah, this is a business. You know, if you want to incorporate coaching skills into your current profession, I would suggest that the investment is going to make you more marketable for the next whatever, direction you want to go in your career path. It's going to, you know, if you want it as a freestanding business, then it's a business and you're going to have to invest in it. I mean, there's no such thing anymore of get a computer and a headset and you're a coach. You made an investment in your training and you're going to need to make some modest investment. And really, today, it's primarily getting that profile out there. So what I'm going to say is the web is very, very crowded. All right. Pick a niche. Start somewhere. All right. Don't worry about it. In fact, people are so worried about it being too narrow, but most people don't get narrow enough. So bounce it off your coach. Bounce it off some people. Is it realistic? You know, is there enough people? And then, you know, make a decision there and start going. Then build your profile.
Can I interrupt for a second?
Sure.
Sorry, I know we're talking about profile, but I just wanted to add something about that too narrow concept.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we were looking at this the other day just internally with this new thing that we're launching coming soon. I won't talk too much about it, but we're launching a new platform for coaches, and it's very hard not to, with all our knowledge, to be all things to all people. And we were looking for a tagline, and we almost went down the all things coaching tagline. And you know, then we're just like, well, hang on a minute. You know, this is exactly what we tell people not to do. But I can see how seductive it is to go down that path, because it's almost like it's unbearable to use a skill, to not use a skill you have.
Yes.
So you've got all these skills, right? It's almost like it's difficult to not use those skills and to say, look, okay, I've got 10 skills. I've got 10 areas of expertise, but I'm just going to niche on this one. And I remembered this story, which I was talking to our management team about when we were discussing the new platform. I was friends with this bookshop. It was a bookshop in Melbourne called Shrew Bookshop. This is like, seriously, 20 years ago, not wanting to say how old I am, but it was a long time ago. And it was a feminist bookshop. And it had lots of, it only had women authors, and it had feminist literature, and it had a section on erotic fiction and stuff, right? Now, the owner of the shop told me that Shrew Bookshop, which everybody knew was the feminist bookshop in Melbourne, used to have a lot of male visitors to the shop. And they would come in, and she would always request that they come in through the back door, because she didn't want, you know, a lot of those antsy, uptight feminists to see a man walking past. But anyway, so she'd get them all coming in the back door. And she had a room at the back, and they could take the books and read them there and buy them. Now, the point is, right, have your niche, be the feminist bookshop. It doesn't mean men are not going to come and buy. It doesn't mean other people won't buy from you. It just means that it's really clear who you are, and therefore there's no confusion in the marketplace, and people will come to you. And they'll come to you for things that are not your niche if you are really, really clear, because it's a confidence thing. They feel that you are, you know, you've got your shit together. You're like, okay, you know who you are. You've got a really well-defined business. That's interesting, that story, isn't it?
Oh, no, I love it. I absolutely love it. And it made me think of something else. In that, the whole idea that they will find you, you know, other people will find you. You could start out coaching, you know, women in who want to, you know, start up a business, and they happen to know a guy who wants to start up a business, and they'll talk you up. And, you know, there's nothing about you that says you won't coach a guy. You know, I mean, that happens all the time to me. I mean, I can't even tell you the diversity of clients that I have, you know, coached, because it's not like I close my doors to people. It's just that you want that profile to be really obvious to what you're looking for. And Robin, you know the whole search engine stuff today. It's so crowded on the web. People are putting in like 10 words to figure out, so that they can narrow the field down as to what they really want. So, you know, totally. That's that, to me, pick a niche, start where it's most comfortable, most familiar. Trust that you do not have to stay there. No one's locking you in. You're not going to be imprisoned. You know, my daughter is working in retail, and every once in a while she'll say, I'm going to get stuck here. And I'm like, the only person who's going to imprison you is you. So, you know, you don't have to stay there. And you know what? Yeah. You know how quick it is to take down a website and put one up? Begin somewhere with the profile. Maybe it's going to morph into something else. You know, I've done that. I take them down and put them back up, and slightly different. But you're never starting from zero, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so we've gone slightly off track here. Probably my fault for starting to tell anecdotes.
The bookstore, but
let's go back to the profile. We were looking at ways to actually get a profile. So you've got no profile. You're sitting there, you've got no profile, right? First of all, you get your niche.
Yeah.
Okay, just say that's done. I've got my niche.
Right. So if your niche is like, if your niche is...
My niche is coaching executive single women returning to the workforce.
Okay, so where do they hang out? Are you better off on LinkedIn or Facebook? I'm going to say LinkedIn.
Yeah, probably.
All right.
Yeah.
So first step, focus on LinkedIn. Go 9 miles deep on LinkedIn before you splatter yourself all over the web. Go 9 miles deep. You know, most coaches are curious.
So what do you mean by going 9 miles deep? How would I do that?
So most coaches, and the web is designed for this in some ways. First of all, I noticed the number one attribute of coaches is curiosity. So we're really curious about everything. I wonder what it'd be like to coach this person or coach that person or do group coaching or get into a executive coaching so you got to sort of maintain your curiosity and zero, focus it in, laser it in. So go to LinkedIn, pull up log in, set up a profile, fill out every nook and cranny of that LinkedIn profile, because it'll take you a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And actually, can I just hop in here? You know, you could hop onto Fiverr com, and there are LinkedIn, and there are experts there who will do it for you for $5. So that's FIVERR.com, everyone. You go in there, it's like a whole crazy group of people who will do all sorts of things for you for $5. I don't know why they do it for $5, but they do.
Well, yeah,
and I
because
my LinkedIn.
Yeah, it's a great way to, I mean, I use a transcriber for some of my interview calls, and I found her on Fiverr, and she's really reasonable, and I've continued to use her. You know,
Back to LinkedIn, I got my LinkedIn profile written by a Fiverr person. I just sent her my CV. She wrote the whole thing, did the whole thing.
Based on information you gave her?
Based on my CV, information I gave her, yeah.
Right, okay. So, yeah, if you have all this collection but you don't have the patience for that, you know, pay someone to do it. If you are curious about it, because that's the other thing, we're very curious about it, do it yourself.
Yep.
You know, what else are you doing when you're starting out coaching? You're building your profile. Mm-hmm. You're building your platform, you know? So just do it. And I found that just focusing on one media channel at a time is just what a relaxing state of mind. So then you put your profile up there. Now you go to look in groups. Where are those professional women who are getting back into the workplace? Where do they hang out? What do they care about? You know, so I might look at the parent-teacher associations, anything around parent and teachers or single partners or something that has a parent in it, because odds are you are home raising children or running a household that interrupted your career. Join those groups.
Great idea.
Listen,
great idea.
You know, don't join only groups that are other coaches. Join the people who need you, you know, so that you can help them and give really good content and direct them to your website. So find those groups and start playing with them. Comment on people's links. You don't always have to come up every day with a blog post. Start just commenting. Really get to know these people. Get up to your neck in them. And then you can start doing, the next thing you would do is start asking people to write a recommendation or click a box that says you were helpful. And if you don't have coaching clients yet, what I did was I talked to everybody who I knew would, you know, that I had worked for, who could talk to my team building, my communication skills, my, you know, management skills, whatever skills that I could relate to coaching. You know, and short of putting mom next to the testimonial or the recommendation, you know, look around. I mean,
so I think,
who do
I
you
think
know?
The thing is,
I mean, you know, if you worked with someone, you have a long history of some sort of involvement in a volunteer group or whatever, you have them in your LinkedIn, have them talking about you. And when you've exhausted every nook and cranny of that, now you can move on to something else.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think it's a really good strategy of that. I'm just going to repeat the question you asked because I think it was really valuable. So I said what my niche was, and then you said, okay, so who are those clients? Okay, then you asked the question, where do they hang out? It's a really good question. It's a really good question. And that's why there's not one size fits all approach to this, no matter how many so-called coaching business builders will tell you. There is no one size approach, because you are an individual as a coach. Your clients are very particular, and they will be hanging out in particular environments. And that's a great tip. So the next thing, getting a profile, how to get a profile. I would say, so we've covered, you know, go get a LinkedIn or Facebook page. That's easy to do. That's one way to get a profile. The other way to get a profile is to be seen as an expert in an area. Now, the easiest way I know to do that is to write an article or to do an expert interview, to do a teleseminar like we're doing now. And it's just really not that difficult to do a teleseminar. In fact, you can just Google right now how to put on a teleseminar, and you'll find there's lots of freeconferencecall.com gives you bridge lines. You find an expert in your niche. So if it was single mothers returning to the workforce, I would find someone who had done that really successfully.
Right.
And I would ask her, would she be prepared to do an interview? And then I would hold this teleseminar. Now, you have to let people know about it. So that's, there's some promotion there, which we'll talk about in a second. Run the teleseminar. It doesn't matter if two people turn up. It doesn't matter. One person, I mean, it would be great if three or four came.
Yeah, well, get your friends to come. That's what you do.
Get your friends to come. Get all your friends to come.
That's right.
So you get at least a bit of an audience. Put everybody on mute. Nobody knows how many are there. But, you know, you still, it doesn't even matter if it's a small group. Hold your teleseminar, conduct the interview, record the interview, then take that audio, put it back up on Fiverr.com and get someone to transcribe it. Then you have something, immediately you have something to attach to your LinkedIn profile or to put on your Facebook page or your website if you have one, but honestly, not necessary. Put it up on your blog, put it wherever. And it immediately gives you A, a profile, B, positions you as an expert, and C, tells potential clients that you actually have experience in this field.
Yeah, and
I'd,
you know,
I'd say that's one of the easiest things to do.
Yeah, and you know, our students walk away, you know, when they graduate, they have a portfolio. You know, they have a
yes.
research paper or a thought leadership article that can be turned into some, it's
yeah.
rich content that can be turned into a blog post, a series
yeah.
of calls like this. They
mm-hmm.
create their own coaching tool and their own coaching model, all of which can be turned mm-hmm. into ways to establish your expertise as a coach.
Absolutely. That's such a good point. And that's actually why we created those particular assessments or parts of our training, is because we do believe it's really important to have a profile. So creating your own coaching model and creating your own power tool, not every coach does that. You immediately have an advantage as an ICA student. You immediately already have content that you can turn into something. It could be a download, a free download, a PDF, an article, the research paper. And actually, just to go back a step, I would advise all ICA students, while they're studying and thinking about their research paper or their thought article or whatever it is they're doing for their main assignment,
mm-hmm.
I would think ahead. Think ahead. How will this help you in your business? Try and pick something that will actually help you. Pick something that you can see in the future you will be able to use as a marketing tool or as a way to promote your profile.
I mean, you're creating, you know, content. You're creating some product or material that will help people understand who you are and what you do, and give you some credibility. You know, I happen to teach those courses, you know, had the portfolio courses, and, you know, maybe you don't know exactly what you'd like to do. You know, you don't maybe have the niche narrowed down, but you know, what are you really fascinated with, really interested? What would you want to publish about? Because, you know, we're all in the publishing business these days.
Absolutely. And that's, there's so many tools available now to be self-publishers, and publishing is the best way, the absolute best way. You know, you could even do, here's something that actually costs nothing. Now, I know you're saying, I agree with you with the investment in your business, but at the same time, people do have that as a blockage. They have the, it's expensive as a blockage. So here's a way to just remove that altogether. Everybody's got an iPhone. Well, some people have PCs, or what do they call them? Smartphones.
Blackberries.
let's publicly ridicule people without apples.
And right,
actually,
right.
If you go to my Facebook, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Yes, we'll smack you around. The Android, the droids, the
yeah,
smartphones,
right.
Blackberry people out there, yes. But go ahead.
Yeah, no. Anyway, though, that's perfectly valid, legitimate. So the Android smartphone, any device like that, just flip it around, do a quick Q&A interview yourself. Just say, hi, it's Robin Logan here. I'm the executive women's coach. Today's tip for getting back into the workforce after a break is get your schedule sorted. Here's the three tips I've got for getting your schedule sorted. 1, 2, 3, bang, up on YouTube. That's it. That's it. That took like 45 minutes, cost nothing. Then you have a profile. And you know, they say YouTube is now the second biggest search engine
yes.
after Google.
Yes. Yeah. And it's only
going to... And I found out another piece of information the other day with YouTube. So you could do that, put that up on YouTube, put it on Fiverr and get it transcribed. If you add the transcript to the video, Google owns YouTube, and Google is now developing this new algorithm in YouTube, all part of their open access and diversity policy, where videos that have transcripts with them will get bumped up higher when people search.
Oh, that's so good to know.
It's a really good tip, and it's really easy to implement. You just do your 2-minute video, get the transcript, put them both on YouTube. Next time somebody comes along to YouTube and searches for executive coach or returning to work, your video will come up. That's what a profile is. A profile means that when someone's looking for you, they can find you. Not having a profile means when someone's looking for you, they find someone else.
Yeah, you're not there.
Yeah, you're not there. So, all right, let's move on to the next one, Mercy, because we're getting to the top of the hour, and I was going to open up for questions. How about we just keep going, and then we'll do the questions at the end?
Sure, that's great.
Might be the best way.
All right, so let's bring it on home.
Bring it on home,
all right,
get over yourself. Get over yourself.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we've touched on this. Doing a little research, coaches and new business people give up too early. And,
yes.
You know, it does take time. It takes 2 to 3 years still. All the research is still consistent that it takes that amount of time for you to have achieved some automatic momentum and to see, you know, return on your investment of whatever that was up until that point. So, you know, have a plan. I'm a big fan of, like, it doesn't have to be a business plan. If you're going to the bank and you want money, that's one thing. But have a plan. Have some way of saying, this is how much money I have. This is how, you know, I'm going to support myself or the amount of income I need. And this is how I'm going to make that income. So when I started, I worked part-time for 3 years and worked the other part-time on building my practice and my profile. And, you know, sure enough.
I think that's officially called keep your day job.
Yeah, keep it up and don't give up. I was just talking to somebody today. Turn the if I get, you know, successful at coaching to when. Allow there to be no if in your thinking. You know, you're going to do this. You might not know every step of the way, but you certainly know the first 2 or 3 steps because, you know, we're resourceful. Mm-hmm. Coaches believe that we're creative and resourceful, and so is everybody else. You know, so if one thing isn't working, find the next thing. Move yourself forward. Setbacks are inevitable. They're all part of it. Lord knows, you know, I've made mistakes. Thank God they weren't super costly, but, you know, there have been times when I've misjudged something. It's just not the end of the world, you know. So,
well, how about the I saw on Facebook the other day the Kentucky Fried Chicken thing that's going around.
Yeah, yeah.
He submitted that recipe 1,000 times.
Yeah.
Like seriously, that's you're right about the not giving up too early. I think a lot, and that is why that is a part of getting over yourself, is because what makes you give up? You give up because you start to think you can't do it. You start to think either you're no good or there's no market for it or there's no business. It's the doubt and it's the fear. And when we say get over yourself, we really mean get over the feelings of fear, the significance, lack of confidence. Now, not to undermine those or not to, you know, not validate those.
Yeah, yeah, I understand.
Absolutely there. Everyone experiences them. You know, I sometimes look at the successful business people I know and I think, you know what? I think the only common denominator I can see is that they all know how to handle fear. Or they all have no shame. Or they all have just, you know, the ability to, I don't know, it's not an arrogance.
They believe, and
yeah,
and this is why a coach can help, because what I hear so much when people are struggling is there's a whole set of beliefs that are holding them back. And Thomas Edison and the light bulb, there's a famous story 5,000 times, you know, before he got one that worked. Well, you know, if you, that were me, Robin, we'd be sitting here in the dark, okay? Because I don't know if I could have created something 5,000 times. But did that man believe that he could create this? Yes. And was he just a fool? Of course not. He was a brilliant man who understood how things work and created many other things. So he had some grounded assessment on it. So with the help of a coach, you can often see your blind spots, your beliefs that aren't working for you, and how to unravel them, and so you can find that belief that really works. I mean, I can't stress it enough that that is the number one thing that stops people. Yeah. It isn't the market, it isn't the recession, it isn't even money. I left a six-figure job, $30,000 in personal debt, and built a coaching business.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because I really, really, really wanted to do it. And there were times when clearly I was selling, you know, jewelry at Christmas time. I was doing whatever it took so that I could continue on that path. And if it's not happening, then it doesn't mean you don't have what it takes. Sometimes it's, again, get over yourself. Look at what you really want. Maybe there's something here that you don't really want. And that's okay, too. What do you want?
Yeah.
You know, once you answer that question, now you can get to what do you really want. Maybe you want to include coaching in your current position or utilize it in some blended way. That's okay, too. Maybe you don't want to work for yourself. You want to work for somebody else. You know, be true to yourself. But it means, you know, getting over that, the ego, you know, sort of like, I have to be a certain way or it's not going to work.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. It's a really good message. And, you know, the Thomas Edison, the, what's his name, Kentucky Fried Chicken, get over yourself or you'll be sitting in the dark with no Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh, that's great. Let me write that down. You'll be sitting in the dark with no Kentucky Fried Chicken. That's a tagline somewhat for something, Robin.
That's a tagline. Don't sit in the dark with no Kentucky Fried
Chicken. Right.
All right. So, listen, let's open the
lines
up. Yeah,
let's open the lines. That's a great
actually,
idea.
Actually, you know what? Let's do it like this so it's not so noisy. Let me just look at my controls here. If we do lecture mode, okay. If I go into lecture mode, then... Oh, Q&A mode. We'll go into Q&A mode. So all guests will stay muted. But if you want to ask a question, hit star 7. All right, I'm going to do that.
Okay, great.
All right, you there, Mercy?
Yes, I am.
All right, so if anyone wants to ask a question now, I mean, if you need to drop off the line, that's fine, and thank you for coming, and it was wonderful having you here. If you'd like to stay for a little bit, Mercy and I will stay here and answer questions, just hit star 7, and you'll be able to ask us a question. Hi, everyone. Everyone's unmuted now. Did anybody have a question?
I do.
Yeah, okay.
When you are getting your neck up, getting up to your neck in them, and infiltrating groups and that sort of thing. Should we worry about being authentic or overselling? How do you balance that?
And what would be an example of not being authentic?
Well, you're basically in the group so that you can hopefully meet more clients or get to know what people's needs are. That might come off as
yes. Great question. I'm going to go on mute again, and we're going to answer that one. What's your name?
Africa.
Sorry?
Africa.
Africa? Okay, let me just close the lines. There we go.
I love this
question.
Okay,
go, Mercy.
Yeah,
you want to
I love
that
this
one?
Question.
You're dying. I can feel your energy. You just want to get into that one, don't
I
you?
I do. You know, if there's one thing I've learned from networking, it's a giver's game. Giver. Game. Meaning, the more you seek to help people, the more people seek to help you. And it's the truth, is it not? So,
totally.
When I'm in these groups, I'm not there just trolling for clients. I'm engaged. These are my peeps. These are the people I want to coach. I have an affinity for them. I have a passion for what I'm doing. And that should come through. And, you know, you have a... To me, you know, I'm not selling myself. I have a service that I really believe will help people. And if you're not coming from that place, then you maybe need to find some place that you do feel that. Because most coaches I know dive in and over help people. It's not the other way around as much. But you know, use your natural generosity. You know, get engaged, be helpful. When you need help, ask for it. That's, you know, if you were in a Business International, Business Network International's leads group I belonged to for almost 2 years, and that was the motto. It's a giver's game. The more you give, the more you get back. And frankly, it's a lot easier for me to give sometimes than to promote myself, or it's just more authentic.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And the other thing is that I'm really glad you asked that question, Africa, because it's a really good question.
Yeah, it's a great question.
The idea is not to go into the group, look for someone, and then offer your services. You know, like, oh, hi, I see you returned to work. I'm a coach. Would you like some coaching? That's not the idea. The idea is to give free coaching. That's the idea. So if you go into that group and just be yourself and start to give free coaching, what you want to happen, you want someone to ask you, hey, what do you do? Mm-hmm. That's what you want. Yeah. You want someone to ask you, gee, that's amazing. That's really helpful.
Right.
And what do you do?
Yeah,
oh, I'm a coach. Oh, really?
Yeah.
How much do you charge? Right. You want them to open the conversation. This is the best sales strategy ever.
Yes.
In order for them to do that, they have to, A, know who you are, and B, have an experience of what it's like to work with you.
Yeah.
So you go into those groups and you show them what it would be like to work with you. And don't worry about that the second bit. The sales bit comes the minute someone asks you a question. The minute someone asks you a question, every salesperson knows you're in.
Right.
That's the stage of the sales process.
This speaks to the budget, okay? Sometimes mm-hmm. you have more time than money. So mm-hmm. all you're doing in these groups when you're coaching and helping and demonstrating a generosity is you're using your time resource efficiently, because every business has time, mm-hmm. money, or energy. So you're using your time and energy in this way. So, you know, I know there's a lot about giving away free coaching and blah, 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 but people have to get to know you. They have to know you. They have to see your expertise. So instead of buying an ad, which generally doesn't work for coaches, you know, you're gonna spend so many hours of your time and energy to be who you are, so people can find you.
Yeah, totally. All right, let's go in and see if that answered the question.
Sure.
And take another one.
Hi, Lucy.
Yes, go ahead.
Going off of the previous question, so say you meet someone in that group, and how do you, I find it difficult to distinguish between sometimes like a friend acquaintance person and someone who's going to be a client, and the way you treat them in the beginning. It's easy to kind of be like, oh, you know, what their issue is, and you know, you just start talking to them like you would just a person who isn't a client, you know? I don't know. Is there a way to distinguish or make clear, or is it natural to be talking like a friend with them about their issue for a while before you know, it becomes actually a coaching gig?
Yeah, I think it makes sense. Let me just repeat the question and see if I've got it correctly. So you're saying that the assumption here is that there would be a different tone or style of talking once someone's a client to when they're not. Yeah, okay, great. Good question. Let me just go on mute and we'll attack that one. Sorry, what was your name?
Jane.
Jane, yeah, okay. Okay, Jane. So, look, for me, the answer to that is that there's a slight difference, but really not a lot for me. So when I go into forums and, you know, it's a good question, because you don't want to just start coaching someone who hasn't asked for coaching. So there's a permission issue there, more so than a friend-client paradigm. This is for me personally. So what I'm likely to do is, if I can help someone, I might, so just in the example we're using, so I'm coaching someone, there's a woman that wants to go return to the workforce, and she's struggling with, she's feeling guilt about leaving her kids, right? I might, to support her in the LinkedIn group, I might just ask a couple of powerful questions. But I wouldn't start going right deep down into full-on coaching. I would just maybe, or I might suggest some things that have worked for me. Just be a helpful person, basically. Then if she wants coaching, it's different in that the conversation itself, the tone, for me, the only difference is that you're actually in a coaching conversation where there's been permission granted for coaching to occur. So we both know that's what's happening. It's subtle. I don't know, Mercy, how would you answer that?
Yeah, I think it is subtle, and it's not uncommon. I think Jane's asked a great question, because I can think of two people who are very significant in my life who came into my life as coaching clients, which is kind of interesting. Mm. I didn't have a previous, you know, kind of relationship with them. There's something that you said, Robin, though, I think just quickly. You know, are you in the market for friends, or are you in the market for clients? Sometimes, you know, it's a fine line. You know, if I'm sitting and I meet somebody and I hear them talking and I'm just listening, you know, the art of listening, coaching is all about listening, and frankly, so is friendship. So listening to them and, you know, just hearing them out, asking some questions, just being attentive. And then if it's like in that moment, I mean, I have no real agenda. I'm just meeting somebody. And if it seems like they're ripe for coaching, there's an interest in it, they're asking me questions that relate to my experience, you know, I might say, you know, this is really an interesting conversation, and it's one we might, you know, kind of want to take into a coaching dynamic. What do you think? You know, it's just, I don't have any, you know, I'm authentic. I'm not, you know, going to just, like, if she said, well, no, I really don't think a coach is for me, I'm not going to drop her on her head and go to the next table and strike out for, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? It's like, well, mm-hmm. then, you know, let's talk. But, you know, honestly, and what do you want, you know, from certain things? Know what you want, you know?
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to speak over you there, Mercy. But the other thing is, you know, you've got to play the long game here. It's like, you got to, it really is the pay it forward mentality. You really have to develop a mentality of, and it's trust. It's trust that it will come back. So out you go, you just go out there and deliver value wherever you can. That particular person you're delivering value to right now, they might not come back for 9 months, and you get an email
and
in 9 months.
And that happens all of the time.
All the time.
All right. And the one friend that I mentioned, who's a good friend now, started out as a client. I met him a full 8 months, and he said, I'm gonna work with you, I just don't know when. And I literally met him, like maybe talked to him for 10 or 15 minutes. And sure enough, he came back, I coached him for like 2 years, and you know, we became friends after that. So, you know, you never know. Mm. You just never know.
Yeah. I agree. So let's just go back and see if that answered that question. What do I do now? 99, yes. Me on the controls, Mercy.
Put you back on interactive, and it was Jane.
How'd you go, Jane? Did that answer the question?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, thank you. It was very interesting to know that you could still be friends with the person. I think my fear is, because I want to coach women who are similar, you know, in a way, in a similar path that I've been on, it's easy to become friends with them as well, you know what I mean? And so it just seems like, it feels almost like when I offer a coaching dynamic, it almost makes it unequal, right? I mean, it's in the sense that now it's all about one person, so it's not really like a friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just makes me feel awkward about that, like, you know, so it's interesting, you know, that dynamic.
Yeah. I mean, mean, this, you are touching on something that is another entire topic, which is the whole boundaries of the coach-client boundaries and where that folds over into friendships and relationships. And we probably won't go into that today, but it, are you an ICA student, Jane? Yeah, so it's a great topic for the forum. I would put that in the forum. It's a really good topic, and it's a great discussion to have. So maybe move that over. It would be great if you could start that up. Mercy and I will jump in. Oh, bad noise. Okay, one more. Yeah, we could do another time. We could, couldn't we, Mercy? It's a good topic.
Yeah, maybe we should.
Does anyone else have a have a question before we go?
Did we lose you, Robin? Are you still here?
Can you hear me? Yep, I'm still here.
I don't know. We might, Robin. All right. Well, does someone else have a question?
I do.
Sure. Go ahead. Who? What's your first name?
Angie.
Angie. Go ahead, Angie.
Yeah, I did come in a little bit late, but a few ago you had talked about experimenting with your niche.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, without, you know, spending a lot of, you know, time, money, or energy. I mean, in the beginning, one of the things that, you know, take a look at, I mean, this is just one strategy. Take a look at your contacts file. You know, back in the day we said Rolodex, but you know what I mean, your contacts file. People that know you professionally, family, friends, and think about them as sort of, you know, the first people you would want to tell, you know, that you're coaching. And it would be, you know, just a friendly, maybe email, maybe some people you even call, depending on the nature of the relationship, and just say, hey, you know, starting to coach and building this practice, very excited about it, you know, I've trained, I've, you know, I'm in, really kind of interested in working with women who are looking to shift careers or getting back in the workplace. You know, I would start with the people who know me best and then see what comes back from there. You know, I love doing that, that sort of throw it out there and see who bites. You know, think about who they are. You know, what is the commonality in your contacts? You know, for if the the first time I did this, I looked at most of these people were people who wanted to do what I had done, which is leave some unrewarding work, you know, get out of the velvet handcuffs. And I just sent out an email and said, you know, I'm opening my coaching practice and I'm, you know, love to coach you. And here are a couple of ways that issues we could work on. You know, maybe it's career management, maybe it was shifting careers, whatever it was. And I would, you know, and then people would come back and they'd say thank you, or they'd say, and today you can do it on Facebook in so many ways, but I used my email and I still do that. I still have like 5,000 contacts that I, you know, email once in a while. And then just ask them, you know, who do you know that could use my services? Who do you know? Paint a picture for them too. That's the other way. You know, I'm thinking I want to coach women who are, you know, maybe they need to get out of the workplace, they're not thriving there, they really want to quit their day job and open a muffin shop, you know, whatever it is. Paint a picture for your friends. Give me two or three clients, you know, who are they? What's their age? What's their challenge? Because, you know, if you sent me a letter that said, you know, I'm open for business for coaching, the first thing I'm going to be like, that's great. You know, I don't really know anybody who needs that because you haven't filled in the details. But if you say, hey, I'm open for coaching and I'm looking to coach, you know, people who are this, this, or this. And if you know anybody who needs my services, please forward my email on to them.
And Mercy, I'm back, by the way.
Oh, good.
Not sure what happened.
Welcome back.
You know, The other tip I would give out is there's this fantastic website, moo.com. I think it's uk.moo.com, that produces the most beautiful business cards, really affordable. And they're lovely. So I think that's another really important thing. Just grab a few of those as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, get your niche, get your business card, off you go.
And you can always change your business card.
You can always change it. You can always change it, that's right. Yeah, totally. So if there's no more questions, we might, it's 15 minutes after the hour, I'll just go back into...
Do you want to take one last one, Robin?
Sure, let's do that.
Yeah, because I heard a few people. So let's, one last question. Fine. Go ahead, Robin.
Anybody have a question?
Yes, I do. My name is Lori.
Hi, Lori.
Oh, I'm wondering, at what point do you get your profile out there?
Yes. Great. Excellent question. Let me just... Do you have a particular niche or idea of what sort of coach you're going to be, Laurie?
Well, I was thinking about creating a niche for parents of children who have been bullied in school.
Beautiful. Love
excellent
it.
Excellent niche.
Love it.
Yeah, all right, let me go on mute. Yep. Oh, mercy.
Yeah. What a good example of a niche, right?
Killer niche.
Killer.
Total killer example of a niche. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, do you want to go with that? How soon should Laurie get out there, mercy?
Well, right away.
I thought you were going to say yesterday.
Yeah, no, I didn't want to, you know, I don't want to get people into that significance, you know. There's a lot of things Laurie can do right now. Research who else is out there. See what they're saying and doing. Where, you know, what distinguishes you? Maybe you have a story to tell and you have, you know, organize a local group or something that, you know, you start making a list of why you're credible and why you're passionate about this. And begin, just like we said, start a LinkedIn profile or Facebook, get a very simple, you know, blog going. I'm not a big fan of websites. I think that people's attention spans are now, you know, smaller than a gnat. So you want really to give them content, start talking about it, and you become the collector of stories and the collector of information. So you become the go-to person. You know, I wonder what Lori said about this recent bullying event, or, you know, I wonder what, you know, she said about this. You really want to be that person. You want someone, you know, who's reading your blog say, you have to come to my school and talk to my kids. You know, so begin right now. Studying to be a coach, being trained. I know and believe in certification with every fiber of my being for the good of the profession. That being said, you can start coaching peers, coaching people, you know, as long as you're authentic about it. You know, put a credential down that you don't have, but there's no reason you can't start.
Yeah, absolutely. Good point. Excellent. All right, let's go back and open up the lines again to see if... does that help, Laurie?
Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah, well, well done on that niche. Good luck with it. That's a great niche. And you know, from that, you will get... This is a perfect example. So you will niche yourself as, I coach parents whose kids are being bullied. And that will be the first thing you coach them on. But then I'm telling you now, you will then be a parent coach because all sorts of issues will come up.
Yes.
Right.
So it's great.
Yeah. I mean, niching is a function of what you're passionate about and helping people find, you know, your gifts can meet their needs. Mm. It's not about competency. It's not about coaching competency. You can coach anybody once you have the confidence and the competence to do it.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful note to end on, Mercy.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone.
I'm just in awe of everybody who came to the call. You know, we really loved this topic. I loved when Robin said, you know, let's get this really simple. And I'm excited to continue with it. It's really been fun.
Yeah, it's been great. And I think we've got some great ideas for next topics.
Oh, yeah, I wrote down a few.
Yeah, cool. All right, thank you, everyone. Now, listen, if you want to continue to ask questions, you can go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/iCoachAcademy. Ask some questions there. Mercy and I will hop on and be happy to answer. And the other thing is that if you're interested in becoming a coach and you're not yet a coach and not yet training at ICA, please come along to our Coaching 101 call, which is a great way to get a feel for our training. We actually teach some of our modules in this free call, Coaching 101 class. We do, I think, two or three a week. So if you're interested in that, just send us an email, training@icoachacademy.com. And if you send us an email, we will let you know the next time or the next time zone that would suit you. So that's training@icoachacademy.com. Send us an email, become a student, join our wonderful community. And for all the amazing students who came to the call today, thank you. Thank you so much. It's wonderful to have you all. And Mercy and I are so excited about you getting and building your businesses that I can even feel more of these calls coming on.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks, Mercy.
Thanks, Robin. Thanks, everyone. Bye to my
See you
kids
later.
In Albany.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.